5 o'clock hour. Guillermo Mash on behalf of the Without a Roof radio program. And you are indeed listening to 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware that opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Yes,
give me 2 eggs. So, tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of okay. Good. And I like it when we had our own beds and different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. All right, welcome to the Without a Roof radio program. Guillermo Mash here. I do want to do a shout out real quick. Our show's coming up on 5 years. We did do a sabbatical. You know, I was off the air for, thought I was retired since June of 2018. But 900 that was mentioned as children experiencing homelessness in our K-8 school systems literally was from 5 years ago. So I hope to get an update from Megan Malloy in time for next Wednesday's show. Also want to do a huge shout out to all the KZFR programmers, board members, staff, and of course, you, the listener and supporter. And thank you for listening today. We got a jam-packed show. Jam-packed. I had a really cool story happen as soon as I opened my door today on the burrito and coffee run. And you're going to hear from Timmy, followed immediately by Joy Amaro, who is the Homeless Solutions Coordinator for Chico, her second week on the job. I'm going to follow that up with a friend of mine, Addison Winslow, and he is one of the coordinators for the new encampment outreach that Joy Amaro is managing. We're also going to hear from the mayor of Chico on her vote, a nay vote, to allow people to shelter in place during the pandemic that don't have homes. Going to hear from a whole bunch of folks that are houseless on the street. We've got a lot going on. It's almost like a magic show that we fit so much in here. So without any further ado, I'm going to give you that interview from Tim, and I just want to appreciate all the folks, again, that are out there listening and supporting People Powered Radio. You know, I'm out. This is the first time I've been able to give out a burrito and coffee right outside my door. I'm here with a wonderful gem. He's got a beautiful smile. Top of the world. He's in his wheelchair, pushing himself around, looking to do some canning. And what's your name, sir, and what's your living situation?
And my name is Tim Shelley, and I just got an apartment a few days ago.
You did?
A friend of mine, I broke my leg 2 months ago, and my femur right here. And she said she wasn't going to let me go back to the streets when I went to the hospital. And so here I am, man. I'm just moved in my apartment a few days ago, and it's different.
Nice.
I haven't been in the house or apartment for 2.5 years.
That must be a blessing, huh?
It's a real blessing, man. I had a friend, and matter of fact, she's the director of the Torres shelter.
What's her name?
Her name's Joy. And she said she wasn't going to let me go back to the streets.
Oh, this is a Joy Amaro story? She's the one that said that?
Exactly who she is.
Yeah? You know what? I'm interviewing Joy in an hour. She's going to be on the radio show tonight.
She was my next-door neighbor for 5 years.
Tim, that's a
beautiful woman.
That's a great story. What would you say to the people of Chico, the listeners right now, to lift their hearts, Tim?
Don't give up. There's hope.
There's hope.
There is hope. You know, if you need help, contact somebody, and you know, they're trying to get a lot of people off the streets and into homes right now, and you know, the coronavirus is kind of aiding that, you know, getting people into hotel rooms and such. You know, if you seek the right people, you know, you will get help.
All righty, Tim, it's a real joy to see you as I open my door.
Thank you very kindly, and I appreciate your time and the burrito and the coffee.
Tim was my neighbor for 5 years.
That's exactly what he said. I was Joy's neighbor for 5 years. Guillermo Mashia with KZFR with Joy Amaro, the Homeless Solutions Coordinator for Chico. And we listeners just heard Tim speaking so highly of you, Joy, and you're going to give us a little bit of backstory before we jump into all the things you're doing at your desk.
Yeah, so Tim was my neighbor for 5 years and before he relapsed and lost his housing. So Tim became homeless, and he knew at the time I was the director of the Torres shelter, and as he was being evicted, you know, I told him that I would do anything that I could to help him. And so periodically I would, you know, reach out to him on the street and just, you know, remind him that I was here for him. And whenever he was ready for help, he could, you know, he knew where I lived, and right, he knew how right. to get a hold of me. So one day I was at work and I had gotten a call from him from Enlo, and he had no one else to call, and he had broke his femur. And so I immediately went to the hospital and sat with him at his bedside because he had no one and he didn't know what to do and he needed help. And so I then just basically was his go-to for any nurses or any, you know, support system as he was moved into the rehab. And then, you know, I was there practically every day, just, you know, reminding him of all the support systems that are out there, you know, and not to give up hope. And he needed to be discharged, and we didn't really have a place, you know, for him because of COVID. He was vulnerable, and the shelter wasn't taking new clients. And this was all happened before I transitioned for working for the city. And yeah, so we put him in a motel, and he'd been in there for several weeks coordinating with in-home health and physical therapy, and got him connected with a substance use counselor, and just really trying to put the puzzle pieces together, you know? And so I had reached out to Chat and I said, hey, you know, I've got this really vulnerable guy, and he's in a wheelchair, and if I don't find housing for him, he's going to end up back on the street. And so Chat interviewed him, along with knowing that they have, you know, my support. They have Joaquin Jordan, who is a substance use counselor at the Torres shelter, support. They even have the Target team support. Tim knows the Target team well and actually has an outstanding relationship with Officer Hoffman. And so he was housed a few days ago.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's such an excellent, that's a great story to lead with, because now he's my neighbor, and I'm not surprised that Chat fit into that story somehow, but he certainly was a happy camper. He really liked getting a cup of coffee and a burrito too. I got a nice I got a nice picture of him that by now, by the time listeners have listened. All right, there's a lot of good stories from Chat. Listeners just joining, we are listening to an interview that I did this morning with Joy Amaro, the Homeless Solutions Coordinator for Chico, and she is in that for an interim position for up to 4 months. I want to do a shout-out for this, because last week we had to do an extended interview that's available on our website from last week. I'm going to do the same thing this week, because last week Joy goes into all the things she does at her desk, and you're going to hear in a second, I'm going to get back to this interview, and you're going to hear, you know, some of the status on that. So I do want people to know, they want to know more about what Joy is responsible for and what she's doing for the city of Chico and all our community members, check the archive. You're on People Power Radio. Thank you so much, Joy. I wanted to jump right in here and get some updates for the community. Now, the hotels, you know, Project Room Key, I understand it's full and people are trying to hustle to get some more hotel rooms. So maybe a quick update on that.
Sure. So people that fall into that category, the criteria set forth by the state as being vulnerable, can call 211, and they are getting referred to a hotline, if you will, where an intake is done to kind of just get the general perspective of whether someone qualifies, if you will. And so we know that we have, you know, a waiting list, I guess. And so we've reached out to the county to talk about procuring more hotel rooms for these individuals. But yes, there's been 61 people placed in motels to date. The the unhoused were assisted and moved in to motels on Friday.
Mama Rose. I know Mama Rose. That's
Mama Rose.
And her sister thinks she was like first on the list. Her name's Lucanne. So I had a wonderful conversation with her yesterday. So I got my fingers crossed to get some more hotel rooms because there certainly is a lot of need. But it's nice to see Mama Rose's house. That's a wonderful story. The other item of clarification I'd like to get, Joy, is tents. And I was down at Comanche Creek today and I was kind of asking them, oh no, the cops have told us it's okay to have tents. But possibly even outreach workers, I'm not going to say where I heard this, but there's been this confusing conversation going on out there that an encampment doesn't include tents and you're not supposed to have tents. And I just wanted to get your take on that and to make sure that the outreach teams are telling, you know, folks that tents are okay.
Absolutely. Tents are okay.
Tents are okay. Can you repeat that? I like that.
Tents are okay.
Nice. Thank you, Joy. Thank you. I think that's all I need on that one. Now, sanitation. Oh, I got to do my shout out for sanitation. Chico Area Rec District, we love you. I went down to 20th Street Park, and just as they had said, Joy, they I'm sure it's all the parks. They've put a handicap accessible porta potty in all the parks in Chico that are closed. Mm-hmm. Big, big shout out for that. And sanitation-wise, I did see that there was a porta potty and a sanitation station at the Comanche Creek parking lot. But maybe just a quick overview on sanitation in general and what your rollout plans are.
Right. So just having additional conversations with Public Works and the Target team of where additional ones can be dropped,
uh-huh.
as well as dumpsters or garbage cans for receptacles can be dropped. So that is moving forward with that, recognizing, you know, obviously we want to keep everyone healthy, and that's the first step. Is having additional services out there. So that I haven't gotten like the go ahead because I'm not in charge of that part of it, uh-huh. but I don't know where it's at currently.
So we'll keep our eye on that. You know, I was happy to see the sanitation at Comanche Creek because we certainly need it there. And then obviously Windchime Park has some sanitation. So I'll be looking for an update on that next week. But I think this is a really important point of clarification. This person only wanted to be identified as Dan. It's somebody I know. And he was down there. He's been doing creek cleanups for a while. And he was hoping that maybe the Wednesday cleanup was still going on. It wasn't. But he had a chance to talk to me. But the scenario he laid out, and he agreed with me when I responded, he says, you know, I'd heard that, you know, we're going to have these teams of outreach people going out and doing sanitation. But, you know, I saw six bags for days out there on Esplanade, and I just want to know why they didn't get them picked up. But I was like, you know, I'm hearing from folks that are in Comanche Creek going, how come the Rangers aren't coming around and picking my stuff up? And now I'm hearing from him going, how come we got six bags of trash on Esplanade? I said, Dan, you know, you might want to reach out to the city. Because the city has not, you know, adjudicated all their responsibilities to provide sanitation. And he said, yeah, that's a really good point. So maybe land on that a little bit so that people understand that your team hasn't suddenly become sanitation for the entire city of Chico.
No, not at all. They're just hitting, because the volunteer base is small, they're hitting certain locations in the city on a daily basis, and it just started yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I told you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I really did stick up for the folks I knew that are out there cleaning up some, did some wonderful jobs doing some Comanche Creek cleanup. So we need to keep supporting them. So the other one, the whole street thing, I thought this was kind of cute or clever, but I'd heard it enough going, wait a minute, let's talk to Joy and understand what role these law enforcement's playing. But the story on the street, Joy, from some folks are the cops are putting people in hotels. And I'd really just like to understand what role law enforcement has. But I did kind of educate folks going, you know, this is state money that's being dispersed through the county and managed from the Homeless Solutions Coordinator. And I'm sure the police have a role, but the police department's not housing people in hotels.
No. So the Target team was engaged for during outreach because we knew the elders were out there. And we just needed to find them. And who better to find them is the Target team. Who actually goes out on a regular basis and engages.
Uh-huh.
And so they were actually be able to find like five people immediately because they knew where they were at. And so they went out just to help engage and say, hey, you know, I was actually on one of those rides going out and saying, we're ready for you. Motels are reserved. They're just an active partner in the puzzle.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense if you're like, quote unquote, part of the houseless community and the Target team shows up and all of a sudden you're in a hotel. They're like, I'm really happy I'm in a hotel and it seems like the police put me in the hotel. They certainly had a big assist, though. I think I can't possibly minimize the fact they knew where some of these folks were, because there's a bunch of elderly folks out there struggling mm-hmm. to survive. I know you know that.
I see the relationships that the Target team has. People embrace them. I haven't personally seen anything negative. They're there to help and just facilitate. And so I encourage the work from when I've gone out with ride-alongs and what have you. So they're a huge asset in trying to make all of this happen.
Yeah, like I've been educating folks, Joy. I've been telling folks, you know, now that we have this shelter-in-place camping ordinance from the city, well-needed and well-respected and well-enforced. I mean, I haven't found anyone that says they're not doing what they said they were going to do. I'm just saying 85-90% of cops are just breathing a huge sigh of relief, because that's not something they're looking forward to do every day when they put their boots on and walk out the door. You know, most people have a really kind heart, and they're, you know, happy that, you know, they're not rousting elderly people from their camps. So, you know, I wanted to make that clear. But those are the questions I had. So maybe anything I missed that you'd like to fill our listeners in on.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working on a bunch of, you know, different things that I'm not really at liberty to share at the moment. Uh-huh. But unfortunately, I can't just snap my fingers and make things happen overnight. And, you know, you need to dot your I's and cross your T's, have all your ducks in a row. So that's basically what I'm working on diligently to have additional solutions moving forward. So
to me, it'd be nice if you get some resources from the public information officer, that new role, and maybe have her draft something and send it out. Because I kind of had you speak to a lot of these different, you know, points of conversations that are going on around. I think we're at the point where it'd be nice to get a press release so people know what to expect and what's going on.
Most certainly. It's just not quite ready yet.
Okay, cool. Are you working on a press release, Joy?
Well, not necessarily a press release, but all the details that need to go into the press release.
Perfect.
So it's just, you know, I've only been on, today is 2 weeks, so it just takes time.
All right, Joy Morrow, any closing comments?
I appreciate you having me on.
All righty, Joy, and get back to work. Okay. Well, this is work. Talking to me is work.
This is work, but I do have a call.
Alrighty, take care. All right, thank you, Imar, and thank you for all of the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Mountain Sports, providing clothing and equipment for hiking, cross-country skiing, camping, and just enjoying. I like that word. That's a new word. Enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is located in downtown Chico, 176 East 3rd Street, and their telly is 345-5011. Without a Roof, also made possible by generous contributions, KZFR supporters, and the bankruptcy law offices of Michael O'Hayes, a proud supporter of community radio. Michael O'Hayes offers consultations for Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies for residents of Northern California, residents for over 30 years. Their telephone number for Michael O'Hayes, spelled H-A-Y-S, is 892-8916 or mhayslaw.com. Next up, logically next up, to me it's logical. We heard from Joy, and she said today, you know, it was the second day that they have been doing this outreach in encampments. And I did want to have the opportunity here to get an update from a friend of mine, Addison Winslow, who is one of two volunteer coordinators that are working this outreach project. And with no further ado, here on People Out Radio. Guillermo Mash here Tuesday evening producing our Without a Roof segment for April 15th. And I'm really pleased to have my friend, comrade, Addison Winslow from the Chico chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America. And he's one of the volunteer coordinators for this new outreach effort for encampments in Chico, people that are destitute during the pandemic. Welcome to KZFR, Addison Winslow.
Hi. Hey, Bill.
Well, everybody. Let's just dive right in here. You know, why don't you tell us what went well today? What was the vibe down there, and what area were you at doing your outreach?
We had one team go along Little Chico Creek, and then I went to Comanche Creek. So we're trying to start small within our range to make sure we get some systems in place.
Yeah. So. How many encampments did you encounter along those routes?
Number encampments, because a lot of people we didn't get the food until a little later in the day. So a lot of people were out because they eat at the Jesus Center and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody can count on enough food coming to keep them surviving. Hard to count. We had 80 meals that we were given away though. It was supposed to be like a breakfast and a lunch. Really very small, like some snacks that we got from Chico Unified School District. So kind of like two meals, but two very small meals in each of them, and for 80 people.
So what other services did you provide? Did you provide sanitation, or what else is going on as far as this rollout?
Yeah, we get donations, some things like blankets. You know, hopefully we'll be able to rig out tents and other supplies that will really help people be comfortable. And little things that we have, you know, somebody's coughing, so we can give them masks. They don't really have masks to give out to everybody. Hand sanitizer for sure, although we're persistently short on little bottles. We're going to start giving bigger bottles to people that we know are just going to be at their camp. Got it. And the trash service. I mean, that's a big one, trash service.
Did you remove some trash today?
Yeah. The park rangers, from what I heard, would come and pick up trash pretty regularly. So people would throw it out on the trail, but they'll bring their trucks in. But they haven't been there in a while. So it's just kind of building up. And then in addition, some people were brought into motels as part of Project Room Key. We were helping people get out into the motels and stuff. And some of them, you know, they left left their camps there. They didn't really have anywhere to put stuff. So there was one in particular that there's a bunch of stuff on a wagon, and somebody else has taken that wagon to storage, where they did, and we cleaned up the rest of the stuff. And then all the trash that was piled up on the roads, for the most part, that just was sitting there and wasn't being picked up. And we went in there and filled up a truck full. We'll have more to get tomorrow. But it was just two of our volunteers, just me and Alex Smith, good friend, comrade. And we had so much help from all the people that live there.
Yeah,
it was actually
right.
somebody that I know for like 8 years. And she just posted up. It's actually one of the pictures that Citizens for Safe Chico shared on their Facebook. It was like, look at this big mess. They didn't actually clean it up. They just took a picture of the mess. And then Crystal came, cleaned it up. And it's now Crystal's campground.
I know Crystal.
You do know Crystal.
I do know Crystal.
So she helped. We had gloves and trash bags and everything. So she helped bag up more stuff. Her and some other people that were like stellar volunteers. Like I came by earlier and brought food, and I told them I'm going to come back in like an hour and a half, too, and we're going to have a little cleanup session. And,
nice.
A lot of people were down. Most of the people that said they were down were still to be found and helped out. And we got a whole lot of trash into the truck in a really short amount of time.
Wonderful. I know you'd had some ideas about trying to maybe get folks up off the creek bed, and I know there's some maybe mixed messages being sent out there that quote-unquote tents aren't an encampment. And you got any insights on that? Anything changed as far as, you know, maybe trying to move people away from the creek and get them into tents?
It's difficult because people still don't have the confidence that they're going to be secure if they move into a more open area. So today, I wouldn't push people. I was just trying to get all the trying to work with people and talking to them about would they prefer to be in a different spot. If there's road access, we can get trash out easier. We can get food in easier. It's just less work for us. People shouldn't be living in the ecologically sensitive areas along the creek bed. They only live there because they're used to being busted whenever they're out and visible somewhere.
Yeah.
And
now
that they won't be, it's like, well, we can find some better spots for people, I guess. We can make some nice green camps, I'd like to call them, like nice kind of like eco-tent sites, you know. Do the best we can, but if there's trash service, it works really effectively. You have trash service, and trash gets out. It's remarkable.
Are they slated to get a porta-potty and a hand-washing station? Do you have any status on that stuff?
That's something that we work with Joy, and Joy works with the city, Joy Morrow.
Right.
And we have recommendations for spots for sure that I know would be well used if people had a hand washing station there. They'd be washing their hands a lot more. And if there's a bathroom, they wouldn't have to go so far. And it'd be less likely that different people camping in different areas will be crossing paths a whole lot. And so
if or when
there is an outbreak of COVID-19, that it's not going to be just in a vector through all the unhoused communities in Chico. So I don't know, not the person to ask, how fast the hand washing stations and bathrooms will come in, but we have recommendations that we can show that there are people that have to be there, and we'll get them in as fast as we can.
Are you going out every day? What's your schedule? How many folks from the DSA are kind of staffing this activity?
It's DSA, the mutual aid group. Yes, it's every day. We're doing the grocery delivery, too, and it always kind of like little tasks become ticked on to that, just trying to like help people out, support people. The camp outreach thing, now it's got to be, we're getting food from Chico Unified School District every day. We're gonna have to supplement it somehow, so we're gonna have that kind of effort going on. And you know, we're systematizing everything right now. I can't tell you exactly where we'll be on what day. We definitely be like dropping some food off, and as we're figuring out and building a relationship with the people that are there, so they're familiar with who we are. So it's right. that helps a whole lot. So then we can kind of put other volunteers into that space rather than having like right. me, because I know a lot of people in Comanche Creek or somebody else who's in Little Sugar Creek a whole lot. And then it will be an everyday thing. Yeah, we're going to need a lot of volunteers, but we've had 40 plus volunteers involved in our mutual aid project yeah. so far. And there's a lot of other people. We haven't really like called through the list or anything, or maybe made like a strong push. We're going to need to do that soon.
Yeah, we'll be out there tomorrow.
Do it every day.
Yeah. Comanche Creek, we're going to burrito Comanche Creek with Aaron O'Neill from the Poor People's Campaign. We're going to ride on out
nice.
There. Check things nice. Out. Talk to folks. Maybe air some of their interviews on KZFR tomorrow. I'd love to talk to Crystal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll swing back there after I go to the dump.
Alrighty, my friend. Any closing comments for our listeners?
I think there's, you know, there's these like right-wingers and some of the real wingnuts on the internet that are, and on Action News, I suppose, are sharing all these pictures of, like, big trash, and it's like, oh, no, now that people are going to be able to camp, that it's going to get, like, super trashy. It's just going to keep building up. And there's all these other groups that used to go out and do creek cleanups, and they throw people's stuff a lot. But they're striking, right? So it's not going to happen. And trying to get the sensation that, like, Chico is dirty when you don't have police going after unhoused people in tents, people trying to, like, you know, have a place to shelter, right? Well, trash service works.
Yeah, it does.
That's it, yeah. You can figure out, like, sharing yeah. the responsibility or something. But definitely having some volunteers supplement whatever the city puts in is going to help. Getting right. some more resources, even better. You know, things yeah. will be clean. We will never have creeks return to the way that, you know, these pictures like to show.
I've found Camp Intel to be very, very fruitful in these types of endeavors. So I think mm-hmm. if these camp people are like, hey, these people used to come by and pick up trash, they're not coming anymore. I'm just saying, you know, at this stage of the game, it'd be nice if you guys had some help picking up trash. That's for sure.
mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll talk with them. We'll try and work with them. You know, we have fortunately Joy in the position she's in. I'm optimistic that this is gonna help all the groups working.
Yeah, it's just the first day. Exactly. Just the first day. All right, Addison Winslow, take care of yourself, man. Thanks for slipping this in. This interview Tuesday night, man. Cheers.
Okay. Have a good night.
Yeah, you know, I posted this on my Facebook. You know, I can't possibly say enough for the Democratic Socialists of America and all the great work they're doing. And, you know, keep making a difference in people's lives. Detractors be damned. I mean, that group, not only the work they're doing directly on the streets, but they're running around delivering all volunteer, delivering food to grandma and aunties and uncles and people that are shut in areas that can't get to food. You know, and if you got a problem with that, I don't know. You don't seem salvageable. Anyway, I thought this was a really good flow because we're going to hear from Larry and Danny down in 1 mile, down by the Horseshoe Pits. And towards the end of the interview, it's really cool. They break out, once again, DSA out there doing things. They printed up these CDC COVID-19 information sheets, and I had this really cool conversation helping educate these folks that are out on the streets. Sheltering in place. You think your shelter in place is rough? Here on People Howard Radio. We're out here with my friend Larry. I told Larry, like, that Larry, this is the first time I've seen you since the pandemic started, and I hope to see you when it's over.
Oh, yeah. I'll be around.
Yeah. In the background is a dog barking. You said that's your new dog. Yeah. Might you tell us, you know, unfortunately, what happened to your other dog and how important it is to have pets out here in your home, your home under the stars.
Oh, they're companions. They're like best friends, you know. And my last one got hit by a car and was killed. And now I got a knucklehead. A big old white, supposed to be a Great Pyrenees, but I think he's just a wolf and shepherd kind of a mix. Shh. Hey. Sorry. He gets a little verbal sometimes. But he's a good dog. It's important out here, though, to have a companion.
So the backstory, Larry was one of the camp managers at that tent city that sprung up about 4 years ago down off of Notre Dame. And, you know, I've seen Larry a couple of times in between, but it's probably been a year and a half, you think, since you and I last talked? At a Mama Rose dinner, I saw you.
Yeah, that's probably about a year or so ago, ago.
How's things been going for you, you know, particularly recently with the pandemic? Why don't you give our listeners an understanding of what life is in a pandemic when you're destitute?
Well, they want you to stay put, but it's kind of hard to do that, mm-hmm. you know, when you're living out here. But our immune systems are built up, so I think we'll be all right.
How important is it then for folks like me that are just volunteering, and God bless all the folks that have helped get the food that make these burritos, but people like me that come to the camps, check in on you guys, give you a burrito, give you some trash bags, give you some love. How important is that for you guys to get through this?
Very. It's very important. At least to know somebody cares, you know. The city don't. mm-hmm. obviously, but...
Let's talk a little bit about the city. You know, I'm not going to try to defend the city. That's too long of a segment. But the city council did vote 4-3 to allow encampments during the pandemic. Why don't you let our listeners know how important that decision was for you and the impact it's had?
It's great because we're not moving around every day. Mm-hmm. You know, they want us to stay put or isolated, then they need to let us stay put. And they haven't been doing that. They've been moving us daily, herding us around like sheep. But we've been going with it. And now we can actually stay put for a little bit.
The other thing that's just beautiful, you know, is someone that's covered this beat. And I was out on the streets for a while. Folks that are experiencing homelessness go where they get pushed. And a lot of times, like, it was really dire down in Windchime Park, Larry. There was 3 or 4 tents, like, gathered together. And the simple reason they did that was on the creek and no one could see them and the cops wouldn't bother them. But what I'm seeing now that they've said, hey, shelter in place and small encampments stay B, I'm having a hard time finding camps with more than 2 or 3 people. What's your assessment of all I just said?
I prefer to camp by myself, actually. Uh-huh. I mean, close enough to, like, within hollering distance of somebody in case something happens. But you get too many people, it just gets too much attention drawn to you. But as long as you keep the camp clean, keep things picked up, they don't bother you much.
I had some directions that was like, keep it clean, keep it drama free, and keep your distance. How's that sound?
That's about it. Yep.
All right, Larry, nice talking to you. What's on your heart, Larry, to end the conversation? What would you want our listeners to know that's on your heart right now?
Get to know us before you judge us, because we're not all bad people. You know, we're not all dirtbags. Some of us out here actually have hearts and care for other people, and it's kind of hard to keep doing that with people keep looking down their nose at you. You know, or looking at you like you're some kind of... We had a lady yesterday. We were eating up here at the second bathrooms and had a lady call the cops on us. Or call the ranger, actually. And the ranger had to come down because there was too many of us in one place. But...
Were there? How many people were there?
There were 13.
And that's too many people in one place. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, more than 10, I guess, is too many.
Yeah, more than 10. And they said the encampments can't be more than 9, but no one's going to be sleeping in an encampment of 9 if they can move further away and be 3 or 4.
Yeah, for sure.
But just understand, you know, from the story you told, Larry, I kind of lean more towards the citizen. You know, everyone's trying to do their best. And literally, we got to keep the groups down. We've got to keep the groups down. And I'm hoping, I'm going to try to get up to Mama Rose's Sunday dinner. But, you know, that's another place where, you know, we need to make sure that we're trying to keep some distance. Because, I don't know, I trained to be a Texas Hold'em player. And statistics, man, I know statistics really well. So I've been telling people, Larry, you'd rather be unlucky to get it than lucky that you didn't. And, you know, the more distance you can keep, the better. What would you say to that?
I'd have to agree. Really have to agree. All it is a flu on steroids, but it's killing people. It's not nice.
One thing to say, just to kind of help educate the community and listeners and people here in the encampment, is that's like any kind of description, that's true to a point. But the thing that's really insidious about the COVID-19 virus is you can get it when people are asymptomatic. Most flus, nearly all flus, standard flu, if you don't feel bad, you're not infecting people. Yeah. That has been a big problem with this. Literally, I think 48 hours is what they're saying. They're finding people that don't have any symptoms for 48 hours, and they're infecting dozens of people. So just keep that in mind, Larry. Yeah. All right. And you're reading that was handed out by the DSA. You've got what do you need to know about coronavirus disease 2019? What's the question you want? What are you reading?
Right here it says to wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds and use alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains less or at least 60% alcohol if soap and water are not available.
I happen to know scientifically why the soap works. Literally, the virus is a protein that's encapsulated in fat. So 20 seconds in soap will 100% dissolve the fat and kill the protein that's inside. So you need to keep foamed up for 20 seconds or more. You got a question?
It says that this virus, I was told that it is not airborne.
Oh, that is so, that's like a big false. That's like gong show false. Absolutely false, 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 false. Okay, most people are getting infected airborne. That's why I'm wearing an N95 mask. But like all viruses, it can attach to other things. But by far, the most common way people are getting it is airborne. It's absolutely an airborne.
Well, this thing says wash your hands with soapy water. How's it, you know, warm soapy water for 20 seconds or more.
They don't need all their soap out
here. Or 99.9%.
I might have some.
Sanitizer.
Uh-huh.
But then down here it says alcohol. 60% alcohol or greater.
Yeah, what they're trying to say there is they realize that some people don't have access to soap, and they want people to be aware that some hand sanitizers are better than others. So, like, the DSA that gave that to you has been handing out hand sanitizer that's, like, 80% alcohol, so it'll kill it.
Anything that's 60% more alcohol or greater, that's even liquor.
Yeah, there's been some talk about the fact that they're using denatured liquor so people don't have a, you know, any kind of incentive to drink it if you're addicted to alcohol.
But then that kills the virus, right?
Yes. The alcohol will kill it.
And they can't make some kind of vaccine that's like the alcohol or something like that. Where you get a shot?
Well, they're working on a vaccine, but like all viruses, it takes a year and a half, you know, minimum to kind of test it and come up with it.
See, you straightened something out for me because I was told by somebody that's supposed to know about this that handed these out that the virus was not airborne. It died in 20 minutes on like a hard surface. See, what you told me, it's the opposite. That's why everybody's wearing the mask. Now I see why.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely need to be wearing the mask.
I was told that it was...
You know what?
Respiratory droplets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coughing, sneezing.
What's your name?
Danny Irons.
Danny? Danny, I'm really appreciating this because this is the kind of conversations we need to have. Let's look at what the CDC has said and have a conversation around it because these are the people that know, right?
What I'm getting out of this is that the virus is there and it's like a... healthy flu thing, but every time it spreads to a new carrier, it kind of rebuilds itself. Everybody is different. The virus keeps changing.
Well, the virus isn't changing, and I don't know the comment of healthy flu. There is no such thing as a healthy flu. But what they're finding is everyone's genetics is different, and the biggest thing is people's health. I mean, if you're 70 years old, you got diabetes, and you're COPD, you already have a compromised immune system. There's been a lot of conversation around ways that people can measure your age or your immune system. So it's just statistics. The stronger your immune system is, the more likely you are to beat this thing. However, the same thing applies. You could be the healthiest person in the world, but you might just have some sort of predisposition for this virus, and it's going to take you out. So they have people of all ages are dying of this.
I got one more question for you. Why does it point at what I have been hearing is kids or children under the age of like 12 and adults 65 and older are more risk to get the virus is what I've been hearing. I don't understand why that is.
I think anything you've heard about you're at more risk of getting the virus is false. It relates to the looking at the statistics of who gets sick, who gets the sickest, and who dies. But there's no indication that anyone is more susceptible to get the virus than anyone else. Now, obviously, like me, I'm wearing gloves and I've got an N95 mask and I'm about 5 feet from Larry. So I'm kind of on the fringes there. But I'd said this, Danny, to Larry before you came. I said, follow what that sheet says because you'd rather be unlucky to get it than lucky you didn't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to give you some hand sanitizer. I got some in my pocket.
Yeah, I gave him some Chico DSA hand sanitizer. I do need to do a public service announcement. You know, Mama Rose is in a room via Project Room Key. And her Sunday dinners, which Larry was talking about a little bit there on the radio, are on hold until further notice. Next up, got Ann Schwab, Mayor of Chico, talking about her nay vote for codifying encampments for the destitute during a global pandemic here on People Powered Radio. So, you know, the question I would have, Anna, you know, the main thrust of this interview was just to get your comments around your nay vote on allowing encampments in the city of Chico during the pandemic and just wanted to have a better opportunity, especially now that it's been a few days, to kind of reflect on that and let our listeners know what you were thinking.
Well, you know, on Tuesday night, Police Chief O'Brien described for us and gave us an update on the department's strategy to address the homeless encampments in Chico. And the city has been studying best practices regarding COVID-19 in other California communities. And we've noticed the Bay Area in particular has been successful in lowering the curve due to some of those strategies. Particularly, they issued a stay-at-home order or directive before the rest of the state did, and how they're managing vulnerable homeless communities. Their strategy was to have them shelter in place, keeping the encampment small and encouraging compliance. Initially, the call out from many community residents was to let's open up the fairgrounds, let's find a place where people can come together to camp. But looking at the Bay Area, they chose not to do that, and their incidence of COVID-19 have been lower than we might expect. So these were the practices of allowing people without homes to shelter in place. These are the practices that the Chico Police Department officers were following before Tuesday night, before members of the council felt that they needed to direct the council in that way. I wanted to lay the groundwork as to what was happening, why it was happening, why the police, and particularly the Target team, who have been developing relationships with people on the street. Chief O'Brien brought all the other special teams, including the Detective Bureau, back into patrol during the response to the COVID-19 pandemic. But he chose to keep the Target team active because those officers have relationships and have built trust, I would hope, with the members of the homeless community.
So I was fortunate enough to have a friend and a colleague. His name is Paul Bowden. He's a nationally recognized advocate and expert on homelessness, and he runs an organization called Western Regional Advocacy Project out of San Francisco. So I called him yesterday afternoon, and what I heard was not surprising. I asked him, you know, what other cities have given, you know, orders that it's okay to do encampments. And he said, he gave me just a quick list. He said, most of them are verbal, and verbal is not working. He was even stressed out. He said, I got my street outreach team, and he sent me some stuff that he's using in San Francisco. But he said, we're finding just verbal is not working. You know, everyone's using a little bit of a different process, or it's inconsistent, or people are still trying to do sweeps. And he's like you had said, Ann, I think there's a huge agreement there. People need to shelter in place. Here in Chico, I've been doing journalism and outreach for 2 weeks, and I literally asked people what's going on. And you may not have followed what I've posted on social media. It's fairly easy to go through my Facebook page. But one day I'll go, and they're like, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, they didn't bother us. Oh, last night they did this. And I actually, you know, saw a couple of camps getting sweeped. And then right up until Monday, just before you guys had the council session, it was crazy in that people were literally camping close together so they could be down by the creek, so they couldn't be seen, because that's the direction they were given. If we don't see you, we're not going to bother you. There was a major problem in Chico with not codifying this. And not only the codifying, and what I really think was helpful for the city council was that was a big discussion. Now everybody knows where we're at and what we're doing. And it has made a major, major difference. You know, this is the second day of outreach I've done since the city council codified it. And I'm really pleased to say, you know, I went through Andy Glen today. I went through the Horseshoe Pit. I went through 1 mile all the way up to the underpass. And people are camping. The biggest encampment I saw was two or three. And actually, I wouldn't even call it an encampment. There was people having a lunch, and there was like five of them sitting together. So I absolutely, as an advocate and someone that's been covering the story and outreaching to the community throughout the pandemic, and the decisions that were made to codify this have made a dramatic difference. And, you know, I'll let you jump in here real quick. But the other thing, too, I always kind of get this when I hear these discussions. When Officer O'Brien or Chief O'Brien talks about he hasn't written a ticket, homeless people, when they're asked to move, they move. They don't want a ticket. And then they physically go to where they're asked to go. And for me as an advocate, or even just as looking at it from a citizen's perspective, Ann, you know, if the chief says he's doing something, then why are we having a problem putting it in writing? So I'm really glad it was put in writing. And I can kind of see the quandary you're in. You know, the chief is saying one thing. Well, I'm telling you, I'm out there, and I was seeing exactly what Alex Brown had brought forward in such an eloquent way, the confusion, how some people are told one thing, some people are told another. It's made a huge difference.
Well, I'm glad that you're seeing that. I think the other thing that was worrisome to me on Tuesday night was the manner in which it was brought forward. You know, these are very strange times where the council is meeting, it feels like behind closed doors, because the doors are closed, and that we're allowed to do that under the state order. And we've been trying to take measures that, well, we have taken measures where people can provide input on public comments, emailing and using a program called Engage Chico, where they can add comments. But this item wasn't on the agenda, so we didn't have the opportunity for community members to speak on the item. And I find that that is just so crucial to understanding, and you do too, to be able to give your input, to know that the council is hearing it, and they can make the best decision.
Well, I'm hoping you're hearing a lot of positive in this, and in that you had led kind of talking about San Francisco as a case study. I just spoke to the expert on the street in San Francisco who's basically pleading for San Francisco to codify what they said verbally. So I think the fact that Chico was heroic enough to actually pull an emergency session together during the middle of a pandemic and codify it was an amazing thing. They codified it? They actually? I said, yeah. And it's made a huge difference. It's made a huge, huge difference. And, you know, we're in the age of a pandemic. So to me, and I thought, I listened to the archive, man. I didn't hear anything from the attorney that made me feel like what we were doing was, quote unquote, illegal. I don't know. And I hope not, because, I mean, we're trying to save lives during a pandemic. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, good. I'm glad you reached out to ask, I guess, what my concerns were. I think, you know, hindsight is 2020. I'm glad that there is a feeling that there is more understanding than there was prior to this meeting. Mm-hmm. There could have been some other ways to go about it, to have that item could have been added to the meeting 24 hours ahead of time, so that people would have had the opportunity or added to the agenda for people to have the opportunity to discuss it. It could have been given as a strong message, a strong warning, if you would, and the understanding that if it wasn't followed at our next meeting or at a special meeting, we could have codified it at that time if the direction wasn't given or we weren't on that same page. There were some other ways. I just want to make sure that we continue to have the public's trust that the decisions that we're making, the public has an opportunity to weigh in on.
All right, I'm here with my friend Catherine, somewhere in Lower Bidwell. I want to stop there really, really quick. And thank Antoine for commenting on her nay vote. And I would have liked to have heard a lot more from the houseless community. And for someone that's going to champion, you know, kicking the can down the road, I was out on the streets every day after Mark Orme gave a verbal, and between, let me do the math, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I'm here to tell you, the verbal won't working. So I'm going to move on. I got a lot of stuff going on. Not pleased that anyone would have voted against something so reasonable as that, and I'll leave it at that. I do have to say, I'm going to do a shout out to the Torres Community Shelter for moving dozens of at-risk seniors out of their congregate shelters, because I think the same day that I interviewed Ann Schwab, which I believe was last Friday, one of the big shelters in San Francisco, you know, had 70 of their guests test positive for COVID-19. So, you know, these things that we're doing to alleviate the risk and keep people safe, I want to thank everyone that's doing it. And now we're going to hear from Catherine. Kind of adds a little bit more color to what I've been talking about here on three different shows. I'll cheer for the, not cheer, but I will kind of say, hey, the things are going good. Thank you, Chico PD. Thank you, Mark Orme. But I'm just telling you, now that it's been codified,
it's working. But here's a little insight from Catherine, someone I've known for quite some time on the street. And if you hear me, you know, if you don't hear Sue Hildebrand at the top of the 6 o'clock hour, her show only printed half of it. So she had to run home and get it. So I said, sure, I'll hang in there. I'll play a little bit of music for you. But I'll get back to our in-progress radio program. And thanks for listening to KZFR. I might as well slip in the underwriter. I love our underwriters. What Our Roof Made Possible, generous contributions, KZFR supporters, and Om Foods, with an organic, non-GMO whole foods, some fish and dairy-free menu. Open noon to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Their full menu is at iloveomfoods.com for pickup orders only. Social distancing required. Orders will be on the tables with your name on them. Please wait outside until your order is ready. OM Foods thanks you for keeping the community safe. Details, 530-965-5263. And by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available. Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached at 518-0924. A park. And I was just telling Catherine, we're into day 3 of the codified, you know, don't be sweeping encampments. Let's follow the CDC guidelines about people that are destitute, have no place to be. And we're 1 week into the verbal of the same. So I'd like to get some insights from you, Catherine, on how your situation's been and if you've been harassed for being, you know, sheltering in place in Bidwell Park.
I have been lucky enough to not be harassed because, like, Dylan Bradford, the head ranger guy, he has already told us, hey, as long as you guys aren't doing anything illegal, I have no reason to make you leave at any point in time. Well, the pandemic hit and he's, no, 6 feet, guys, you're good. You look like you're doing nothing wrong, and would leave.
Yeah.
Other times we'd have people like Sandoval, which is an officer, come through and, well, who's in charge of this camp? You need to take this down. It's not raining. Well, 20 minutes after he left and told us to take it down, it was pouring rain.
Was this during the pandemic or within the last week? When did this happen with Officer Sandoval, who is part of the target team for the Chico Police Department? When did this occur?
About a week to a week and a half tops ago. And, well, we did as we were told. And then when it started raining, we went, screw it, and put it right back up because we're not going to get soaked. We have nowhere else to go. A tarp is what we have. We're not even allowed a tent at this current moment in time. It's still illegal.
I like to tell good stories, too, because I talked with Officer Bradford and Ben. I think his name is Ben, another ranger.
Yes.
Yeah. I know you know the rangers better than I. It was kind of an awkward situation because they were clearing a camp. But all their body language in the dialogue I had with them, Catherine, was like, man, this is not what we want to do on any given day. And, they, you know, I really like talking with Bradford. He had said that, you know, they give out bags when they can and, you know, they understand the situation. Anyway, could you add to that your overall experience here in Bidwell Park over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months?
Well, for the past 4, 5, 6 months, that is hard. That is rough. That is barely any sleep. That is, I am not doing drugs. Why do I have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and move when I'm just sleeping? Why are you automatically, when you can see there's a lunch out, why is there a soda can? We had lunch and there's a soda can. Stop automatically assuming everyone is a drug user of some form. It's not always drugs. Some people are legitimately, cleanly trying to get up and out and they're not understanding that part of it. Yes, there's a lot of bad homeless, but there's not always every single person a bad one. And the rep gets hit on everyone for one bad action, so we all take the fall for it.
Have you had any guidance for the city during the pandemic and maybe afterwards? Because it's a really dicey situation because the Supreme Court upheld, by not taking the case, Martin versus Boise, that said you can't be sweeping people and you can't be criminalizing people for being homeless when they literally have no place to be. So maybe some guidance around what you think should happen for the rest of the pandemic and once the pandemic is lifted, Catherine.
Well, they would need some more stuff to help with the homeless and those that are actually having trouble and want out of it. They would need more resources for that besides just like the Torah shelter or the Sabbath house, because there's only limited amount of numbers. And like Torah shelter, there's a lot of people in and out. They can't always keep it bed bug free. I don't want to bring bed bugs over to my grandma's house one of these days when I go and visit, because I was staying at the Torah shelter. I also don't want to wake up with my boyfriend dead, who is highly deathly allergic to bed bugs. So that's why I choose not to go there, because I don't want to bring it back to him. Just in case one person decided to go dumpster diving or something and got one on their clothing, next thing you know, the whole place is now.
Maybe a comment on this. This is something I hear a lot, Catherine, you know, from folks that are forced to live on the streets. And there's hundreds and hundreds just within the city limits of Chico. They hear very commonly from the Target team, city parks, you know, different law enforcement, just go to the tourist shelter, as they're telling them to clear the camp. Well, obviously the tourist shelter doesn't have anywhere near the amount of beds for folks to begin with. Anyway, what's your thoughts around that? That whole comment of just go to the tourist shelter.
And why don't you just give me your address so I actually have a home to go to? That is my full thought on that one. If you don't want to see me here, then give me a place that I can call my own. Even if it is just your couch, even if it's a place in your backyard, stop telling me to go somewhere that even yourself probably would not end up going to.
Alrighty, Catherine. Any closing comments? What's on your heart, Catherine?
May everyone be safe and sound with peace of mind and a little bit of tranquility during this time. It's hard enough as it is, especially for being homeless. But if you are homeless and do have the chance to contact a family member, even if it's say, hey, it's a hard time and I was just thinking about you, do it. Don't let anything stop what your heart says is the thing to do in this time.
All right. Don't let your heart stop what you think to do in this time. That's why I'm back on the radio. I think it's really important to be covering this story and to be getting voices like Catherine and Larry and Danny and talking to city officials. And, you know, most of my coverage so far has been, so far since I've come back from retirement, been Chico-centric. I'm really excited. I'm going to be heading up to Concow on Thursday for Without a Roof Hits the Road. We're going to be covering life on the pandemic and the Upper Ridge. And here's my little interview with the person that's going to be hosting me. Thanks for listening to KZFR. We're going to be in our pledge drive next week. It's all going to be virtual. We're in the virtual world here. And if you like this show, I know you do, go on out to our website and tip us. You know, we love you. All right, Guillermo Mash here for the April 15th edition of the Without a Roof radio program. And we're going to talk briefly here about Without a Roof embedded journalism going up into the Upper Ridge, the Concow, and the surrounds to document life on the Upper Ridge during a pandemic and all the folks that are weathering the pandemic storm. Why don't you give us a little insight on what I can expect?
Sure. Well, up here in Concow, we haven't received as much assistance as some of the other areas, like Paradise, for example. They just finished cleaning up this side of the ridge about November. So it was a little further behind in the recovery process than Paradise is. So a lot of our neighbors are still in tents and cars. My family, for example, we just got our electricity not that long ago. And they're just getting now to figuring out our septic and water situation. So you can expect that a lot of the folks up here, we're having a lot of trouble with sanitation. Septic issues are definitely an issue. Water is an issue. And there aren't laundry facilities in the area. A lot of us don't have good refrigeration as far as being able to keep our food fresh. So it's still a challenge. It's still a big challenge for a lot of us.
Now, I know Terry runs just a wonderful pseudo food bank. And I know we want to try to possibly, you know, interview Hap Hathaway and Andy from the Concow Campgrounds. Maybe just a little insight on what Terry does and maybe some of the other folks we'll be talking to while I'm up there for 3 days.
Yeah, all great folks. Well, Terry runs IAM's Garden, and there at IAM's Garden, they have some tents they've set up where they distribute food to the neighbors. They were doing meals that they were preparing in the evenings, and they had at one time delivered food up into the communities. But with COVID, this is just not something that is a safe thing for them to be doing right now. So it is something that they've had to suspend at the moment. They've changed the way that they are doing business. You know, everybody has to make changes as a result. Mm-hmm. Hathaway and all those folks down at the campground, I mean, they're all good folks. They're doing good work. And Jenny Lowry, you know, with the
from the ground up,
yeah. They've got some great programs going on too. And everybody's just trying to band together and find ways to fill the gaps. You know, And then there's the new nonprofit here, the Concow and Yankee Hill Community Development Corporation, and trying to figure out what all of the community needs and assess the situation here and fill in the gaps that are not being fulfilled with all of the other nonprofit organizations and work in concert with them.
What are our burrito runs going to look like?